Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. If you missed the first hour, pretty much all Texans and a lot of good stuff. I would humbly suggest you go back and listen to all of it on podcastarena.com, the great website that we have. You can also pick up our sports betting audiobook on there. Getting a lot of great response from people on that, by the way.
So, you want to burn through some calls?
Well, you want to do that or you want to go through the... We'll save the rest of the league for 6 o'clock because I think we
no
should...
No one cares about the rest of the league. They just care about this crappy team.
All right. Well, let's try Coach Cortez. He gets to lead it off here. What's up, Coach?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Now, I wanted to call... I'm a Dolphins fan, a huge Dolphins fan, but I wanted to call and give my take on what happened. The things that happened in that game, I know you guys pretty much said it already. Things in that game were not supposed to happen in the NFL, like Jarvis Landry and guys like Rashard Matthews hitting a slant and then just breaking through the defense for 50 to 60 yards. It was just like Pop Warner out there. And I know Arian Foster has said it before when he played the Dolphins years ago. He looked at some of the Dolphins players and was like, I don't know you, bro. But you can say the same thing for the Texans now. Those guys did not want to tackle. And I can't even name one of the guys on their defense. Like once you got past the second level, that was it. It was a home run for anybody. And people at work were talking to me about the Texans played well in the second half, but the Dolphins shut it down in the second half. They could have scored 70 points if they wanted to.
The Dolphins were clowning in the second half.
Yeah.
Because they could.
That's just silly. That's just people. That is just people trying to grab onto anything. There was nothing to take out of that game. If you're a Texans fan, and if you're a Dolphins fan, even you had to be like, okay, this is kind of fun. This is comical. Yeah. This is just too easy. And, you know, that's not supposed to happen in the NFL. It's really not. And the fact that no one has gotten fired today is embarrassing.
It's so Texans is what it is.
I think if you really think it can get worse than that, there's no way. You can't be any worse than you were yesterday. You can't. It's impossible.
It's definitely difficult.
Let's try... Let's see, Doc. What's going on, Doc?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
We're doing well. Are you a real doctor?
No, just a coach.
Okay.
Coach and a former athlete. High school coach, though. But anyway, I had to...
You want a job?
Excuse me?
You want a job?
I need to have their job, to be honest, and I'm a basketball coach.
Oh, but that doesn't matter. Just don't tell them that in the interview.
Well, the thing is, what I wanted to say was that you could actually see that the coaches have no clue of trying to do anything different than what he knows. Now, I guess from what I see is, all the coaches that have come under Bill Belichick's coaching tree, I guess all they are coordinators. Because if you go back to Denver's situation with the young Josh McDaniels, when he got the job there, they knew right away, a year and a half into it, hey, he is not the guy. We're going to have to go and let him go. And then they bring in John Fox and Mike McCoy. The job that they did with using the tools that they had, they knew they had a quarterback that couldn't do. They could only win with this quarterback doing a certain thing, and they scrapped everything that they knew and went to whatever worked for. I can't even think of his name right now. They went to whatever worked for them, and they won games. And they won games in spite of their management. Because management wanted them to play him because they figured they were going to lose, and that was going to be the excuse to get out of the contract with him. But they won with him, and they knew they had to win games in order to have job security going forward. Other coaches being hired. John Fox got another job with Chicago. Yeah. Mike McCoy is doing well up in San Diego. I think they are going to have to do, they're going to have to get rid of the GM, and they're going to have to get rid of O'Brien because he is not innovative. Let me jump in there
because I think it's too soon. Even I say it's too soon to get rid of O'Brien, but can we stop talking about this game plan offense? Because there is no game plan to their offense. It is the same crap plays week in and week out. It is predictable. I said this in the first hour. I literally called four plays in a row when they lined up. And I was so pissed at the fourth one because they were going to run that playoff tackle again. And basically there were seven Dolphins over there.
Yeah.
There were four on the other side of the field. At no point did Hoyer think about checking. He actually checked into it once. And it's like, well, what the hell are you guys doing? I mean, and you can't be that ineffective on offense and that non-creative and that vanilla. I mean, that's what we used to get on Kubiak for. It was so predictable. Well, this is the same damn thing. So quit calling it a game plan offense until you actually have a game plan.
And, we're talking about it. It can't get worse. This team still has to play New England. They still have to play Cincinnati.
They're going
to
lose those games. It's not.
No,
about
I'm just
that.
Saying it could get worse.
No, there's no way.
If New England wanted to win 60-0 against this team, you don't think they could?
I don't think that. There's any way you can play a football game as poorly as they did yesterday on both sides of the ball for the first half. There's no way somebody's going to put up more than 41 points on it. It's almost impossible to be that bad.
The Falcons did it.
I know
they put up 42. It is possible.
The difference was in that Falcons game. There were more turnovers. They only gave away one touchdown here. They just went three and out. Okay, let them score. Three and out. Let them score. I mean, that's as ineffective as you can. This is the kind of thing that when you're playing on Madden, you have to jump up a level because it's too damn easy.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, what do you think the score would have been had Miami continued to be as aggressive as they were defensively? Had they played out the full game to the best of their ability?
Oh, they could have broken the NFL record yesterday, which is 73. But there's no reason to do that. They did the smart thing.
Yeah,
they have a Thursday game, and they come out, okay, let's run some clock and run the ball. This game's over. Well, meanwhile, the Texans are out there, let's run up some points to make it look better.
Because that's their MO.
And you get your running back out for the season. Probably out for his career, at least as a Texan. Really well done. Really well done, guys. Where's the accountability here? Where's the anger from somebody who actually can do something about it? Not just us.
Doesn't exist. I mean, the people who... maybe Bob McNair's not angry.
Oh, I think he is. But I think he's also in a position now where... This is that holy bleep moment you have where, what if I hired the wrong guy?
By the way, you're fading Miami against New England, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Miami +7. Y'all can have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Belichick's going to be like, Dan Campbell, you think you're bad, huh? You're going to go around embarrassing crappy-ass teams?
Yeah.
Let me show you something. Let me teach you a little life lesson, Dan.
But you know what? I like what they've done there.
You know what they've done there? I don't know if Dan Campbell's the right answer, but you know what they've done? They've gotten rid of the guy who wasn't the right answer.
Right. Right. And you know what else they did? They basically just simplified everything. Told that defense, hey, take off, kill the quarterback.
Yeah. The offense couldn't be more simple than it was. Ryan Tannehill throws screen pass and slant route.
Well, yeah.
And that didn't change.
That's how you wind up completing 25 passes in a row. You throw the ball out there, throw a slant, you throw a screen, and they break it for a 50-yard touchdown. How many FanDuel leagues do you think Ryan Tannehill and Miller won for somebody yesterday? And the Dolphins defense. Let's throw that in there, too. All right, quick break. Get to some calls when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. All right, we're going to grab some phone calls here in a second, but I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you some decisions that Bill O'Brien's made, and I'm going to make this clear. I'm not advocating that you do anything with O'Brien till the end of the season, but I want you to grade these, okay?
Okay.
I'm just gonna. These are decisions that he made.
All right.
Based on results, how they've worked out. All right. The decision at quarterback. That's the easy one. To bring in Brian Hoyer, to go with Hoyer and Mallett, to not keep Fitzpatrick, to not draft
someone. Oh, you mean
someone.
like the
his decision on
to bring those guys in
on how to handle the quarterbacks. What grade would you give him?
I'll give him a C-
okay.
on that.
Okay.
And the only reason it's that high is because even I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is I would have guessed Ryan Fitzpatrick at his best is better than Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett at their best. But I also knew that
injury
pretty serious,
yeah,
and I didn't expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to be this, so I can't imagine they thought Ryan Fitzpatrick would be what he is.
But
I knew that these two guys were these two guys.
And to be fair, I'm not sure Brian Hoyer was the problem yesterday. There were a lot of other problems on that offense. He wasn't good. He didn't help him.
I can't believe how bad the offensive line is.
Yeah,
I cannot believe.
And that gets me to question number two.
Okay.
He changed offensive line coaches in the offseason. People tend to forget that. What grade do you give him for that?
That is an F.
Okay.
That is an F. This offensive line, you remember 2-3 years ago, we were talking about this might be the best offensive line in the league.
And at the end of last year, they were playing really well.
This, what they throw out there now is embarrassing. And if I'm Dwayne Brown, I'm like, hey, man, I'm pulling that Andre Johnson. Y'all need to trade me thing because I don't want to be a part of this.
All right, I'm not going to blame him for this because Bill Kolar wanted to go and be with Gary Kubiak and those guys, but you also changed defensive line coaches. How has that worked out?
I would say it's not worked out. But defensive line
I'm not going to – I don't want to grade on that because I don't think he could really control that, but it was his decision to change the offensive line coach.
Yeah.
All right. Made George Godsey the DC and quit calling the plays. How has that worked out?
The OC.
OC, excuse me.
That's not worked out at all. I mean, but, again, I mean, what groceries does he have to cook with? They're in a lot.
There wasn't a lot last year, and they were better.
Yep, they were better. You're right.
So, again, just decisions that have been made. And then, finally, his decision in these in-game decisions when you're getting your butt whipped. I would have thought you would have learned a couple weeks ago against the Falcons when you got Cecil Shorts hurt, when there was no reason to be trying to score on that last play, and he winds up getting hurt and fumbling, and the Falcons score again. And then he was out for the next game. The decision he made to leave those players in the fourth
quarter. It's
terrible.
I mean, it's an F.
Okay.
Again, I mean, the Foster, I mean, I guess the one positive is, and I know it's sad because Foster's been in this, he's done some good things for this franchise, but that makes that decision all the easier. I mean, now you
basically cut him, and
yeah,
that's there's not even a discussion at this point because his cap hit is ridiculous. So no wonder it was a bad day for J.J. Watt apparently.
Yeah, J.J. Watt's dog died. At least he tweeted or posted that on Facebook today. He said, "Rest in peace, sweet girl." If that's actually, I mean, if that happened yesterday, maybe I could give him a bit of a break. But if that happened today, she probably died because of yesterday. So, I don't know. There's really no good reason for anybody to have played as poorly as they did.
No, it was across the board. And I'm really bothered. I'm bothered that they left those guys in. And I'm not going to drop that because I think that's ridiculous. And somebody over there needs to be answerable for it. But I'm also, this whole stuff about they didn't quit. I watched the first half again this morning, which means I watched the game again this morning.
Right.
On several of those long runs, guys stopped, including Brian Cushing once, who stopped pursuing a play. And Landry, of course, breaks the tackle and then took it for a touchdown. So those guys quit yesterday. And it was obvious. So please don't sell us on that. And what I want to hear is how are you going to fix this? Because it's happened twice already this year. And in every single game, you come out, the other team is prepared, you're not. Your offense does nothing in the first quarter. Your defense gets blown up. And then you're having to try to come from behind. They had to come from behind to beat the Bucs and the Jags both.
Yep. And here's
what are you going to do to fix that? That's what I want to know. What are you going to do to fix that?
I've gotten tweets. I could go through and find them all, but so and so is the problem has been tweeted to me about 20 times, and the name at the beginning of that is different in almost every one.
Right.
there is nobody who is the problem. They're all a problem. And there's so firing Rick Smith doesn't fix this. Firing
not at this point.
Firing Bill O'Brien or the OC or the DC doesn't fix this. But you know, getting rid of Brian Hoyer doesn't fix. There's nothing that can fix this right. There's not one head that can be chopped that is suddenly going to turn this thing around. It's past that. It's past that. I mean, there are a lot of guys who are the problem. There are a lot of problems, and I mentioned it earlier. I think fans continuing to pretend like this team is going to pack up and leave is a problem too.
Well, I feel bad for like all the people who went to Miami. There was a bunch of Texans fans at that game yesterday that took that trip to have to sit through that.
Did you see that lady who the picture of that lady who she was holding a sign? I tweeted it out. I retweeted Fred's dark side, the black Fred. Best memory from the game, and it's this lady holding Debbie the Texan, number one fan. She's all dressed up in Texans gear. $2,218 spent on tickets, which, seriously, Miami can't. I mean, they don't sell out that stadium anyway.
That's probably an easy ticket.
How's that happen? 10,180 miles driven in Debbie the Texan Express. A win in Miami, priceless. Boy.
Shame.
Yeah, earlier on the show,
Debbie.
Raquel tweeted out some pictures that she went. I feel bad for those people who went and had to sit there and watch that crap in person.
Connor, who's a Lions fan. Listen, I don't know. He tweeted me this. I don't know if this is going to make things way better, but the best thing I've heard today is the Lions' new offensive coordinator is named Jim Bob Cooter.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the best names ever.
That guy, A, is definitely an alcoholic. B, my favorite coach in the NFL for sure. Jim Bob Cooter. Coach Cooter.
Yeah, my next time I use a fake name, I'm going to be I'm going to be Cooter. Cooter something or other. That's a cool name. I might use Cooter as the first name. It'd be Cooter Jim Bob.
That is, like...
That way I can talk like this, and everybody will say, hey, that's natural.
Yeah.
Stefan asked, do you think Will Fork pulled an Ed Reed on us? I can't tell you how many times I've gotten that tweet over the last 2 days. Will Fork is not playing well, but he's not the completely useless piece of garbage that Ed Reed was, who absolutely quit. Although, Will Fork was one of the guys yesterday on one of the plays who did not pursue it and quit on it when they were breaking tackles. But there were a lot of guys that did that yesterday. And he hasn't been great, but... For what he's asked to do, he hasn't been as brutally bad as Ed Reed was. So I wouldn't you guys can quit putting Ed Reed on him. He's already played more games than Ed Reed did.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Either on a corner betting grants with the CeeLo champs, laughing at big sets, trying to sell some broken amps. G-Packs get off quick forever to get dormish, reminiscing about the last time the task force flipped. Ziggin be running through the block. Time to start the revolution. Catch a body head for Houston once they caught us off guard. The best amp was in the grass, and I ran like a cheetah with thoughts of in ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A couple people have asked about picks for the race, the horse races this weekend. I'll devote a segment to it later in the week, but Monday after football's not the best time, even though they did the draw today. Let's grab a quick call. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, sports guys. How you doing?
I'm doing sports.
Hey, with the Ravens playing tonight on Monday Night Football, and they're 1-5. Granted, the Texans have a better record, but I went back and looked at the margin of loss between what the Ravens' 1-5 record is and the Texans' 2-win schedule is, and it's ridiculous. I mean, if you look, and you could, people will say that the Ravens have a worse record, yada, yada, but the Texans' loss and performance on the field is almost two times as worse.
Well, do you think the Ravens are, or you think the Texans aren't better than the Ravens?
Well, I think in the division that the Ravens play, and I think the division that the Texans play, I think at the end of the year, the Ravens could get a better draft pick and have a worse schedule once it's all said and done. But the Texans will be at a lot worse situation.
Well, at the end of the day, the Ravens have a coach that...
And a quarterback.
They have a coach and a quarterback. So the Ravens aren't great right now. Their defense is abysmal. But the Ravens have a coach that I trust and a quarterback that I trust. And the Texans don't have either one of those things. So, yeah, I'll take the Ravens 1-5 over the Texans 2-4 for sure.
As bad as the Texans' point differential is, you know who's worse? The Jaguars. The 2-5 Jaguars.
Poor Jaguar.
Minus 60. Anyway. Well, and that's not even the worst in the league. Your 49ers are minus 77.
Well, they're a total mess.
Yeah.
They're a bleep show.
So, Stanford are out joining us. Former NFL and UH cornerback.
Well, what's your excuse for being late, Ryan Mallett? Oh,
traffic, right? Yeah.
Hey, sometimes you're just not there on time.
It happens. How many times were you late for the bus or for the plane when you were playing football?
Oh, never.
See,
never.
Listen.
Never.
When you come in here and you're doing a segment on the radio, it's one thing. When you have a job that gives you millions of dollars, you damn sure make sure you show up on time. Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Absolutely, but I will tell you this. Things do happen. Now, that's never happened to me. I used to always live by the creed that if you're 5 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're really late. So you always want to show up at least, especially for the team playing, you want to be there at least 15, 20 minutes before everything leaves to go to the airport.
Yeah.
So if the bus leaves at 1 o'clock, then you want to be there at the latest 12:45.
Right.
At the latest. That way you always give yourself a 15-minute window in case there's a wreck or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'd much rather be the first one sitting there on the bus by myself waiting for everybody else than to be the one chasing after the bus.
But so who were the guys who missed the bus and the plane when you were playing with the Raiders?
We really didn't have too many of those, to be honest with you. If I really think hard, maybe one time we actually had like an actual starter. Like a guy who's really a part of the mix, be late. And if you're good, the coach will hold the bus for you.
So that's why they didn't wait on Ryan Mallett.
No.
But I think the worst part about Ryan Mallett's situation is that it appears that it's like a pattern. Because back in training camp, remember, he overslept. He was late to one of the practice or the meeting or whatever it was. So you don't ever want to develop some sort of a pattern or anything like that as far as being late. Being punctual, especially in the NFL with any job, it's paramount.
I'm of the opinion after yesterday's game that some heads needed to roll in this organization. I think as long as Romeo Crennel's been in this league, he's been successful. But that defensive performance yesterday was pathetic. I also think that Bill O'Brien should have taken the play calling back over, and yet we didn't see anything. And they haven't even gotten rid of Ryan Mallett. At what point do you think, hey, we need to make a change here? Something needs to happen, because that's one of the worst. You have to admit, that's one of the worst performances that I think I've ever seen from a football team in that game. It really was.
Man, that right there was it was shameful. It really was, plain and simple. And to give up 450-plus-yard touchdowns in the first half, that right there is what you see when Florida State opens up the season against Akron. Or UT used to open up the season against Rice or New Mexico State. But seeing that in an NFL game, and I've been on some losing teams before in my Oakland days, that right there it was shameful. It seemed like, based on my experiences, there were years in Oakland where we knew that, okay, this coaching style, this scheme, this play calling, it's not going to get us where we're trying to go. And the older guys would be in the locker room or in the huddle, like, hey, guys, just make it look good. We already know that we're at a disadvantage by the way that things are being run around here, so we just got to just make it look good, because the coaching, the play calling, the scheme, they're not out there on the field with you. It's you and 10 other guys and the other 52 guys on the roster, on the sideline. But you got to – that was just plain and shameful right there.
Well,
plain and simple.
Well, you talk about players tuning coaches out. At what point does a change help? And we saw it with the Dolphins. I mean, they basically simplify things. Mm-hmm. They get rid of the coach who's the problem, and they've played better two games. At what point does something like that have to happen to change the culture?
Well, first of all, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, the Dolphins look better against the Titans and the Texans.
Right.
They got the Patriots this Thursday night. So we'll really see if the new head coach and this new philosophy and the new motivation that he has in that locker room is really him, or if it's just the Dolphins just beating up on the smallest kid on the playground.
But you remember 2 weeks ago, the Dolphins were in the conversation with those teams.
Absolutely.
So we were saying Dolphins, Texans, Jaguars, Titans, mm-hmm. all in the same breath.
Absolutely.
The Dolphins have worked their way out of that.
Mm-hmm.
There were people yesterday talking about how the Dolphins, I mean, and legitimately, they could possibly make the playoffs in the AFC while it's a down AFC year.
Yeah, it really, really is. I think it's only six teams that actually have winning records right now in the AFC.
You know, there's the four division winners are going to make it. I think the Jets are a wild card team. I think they're good enough to keep winning like they are.
I think so, too.
I think Pittsburgh probably gets better when Roethlisberger's back,
mm-hmm.
but that's assuming he stays healthy.
Yes.
But if they don't, I mean, the Dolphins are one of those teams that are going to push for that last wild card spot.
You know who else might? Your Raiders.
The Raiders could, yeah. Hey,
yeah, beating San Diego yesterday. First time, I believe, since 2011. First time in San Diego actually beating them. So it's definitely going to be interesting going down the stretch. I think this Thursday night's really going to tell the truth about this Dolphins team, to see exactly how they match up against New England. If they win the game, that's great. But I think to see how the game goes, whether they're competitive, whether New England just steamrolls them, because they're going to be in Foxborough. And Tom Brady right now is on a mission to obliterate everything in his way. So I'm really interested to see how Thursday night pans out.
I want to ask you, because this is something that irritated the snot out of me yesterday, and I'm still mad about it today.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have to go back to your days with Dana Dimmel to be in that kind of a route, but why on earth is Arian Foster still in that game with 4 minutes left? That was absolutely pointless,
mm-hmm.
especially when, you know, a few weeks ago you got Cecil Shorts hurt. Vince Wilfork limped off the field. That guy should not have been out there. Brian Cushing should not have been out there. Jadeveon Clowney should not have been out there. And damn sure not Arian Foster. What were they thinking? And you know, what is the point of doing that? What are you trying to prove at that point?
Well, you got to remember, Arian is still getting himself back into football shape. Remember, his first game was, I believe it was the Falcons game. So he's just now getting himself back into shape. So I get it. It's a blowout loss. Clearly, you're not going to win. So you don't want to keep your guys in there. You don't want the risk of them getting hurt. I think what his situation may be a little bit different. Like, they're trying to get him back in his playing shape, in his football shape, and get him back to where he always will be, with being the elusive playmaking athlete that he always has been. I think that may have been why they left him in the game. I'm hoping that's the reason why, not just from incompetence within the coaching staff. And it's unfortunate. You know, Achilles is something that it just happens. You could be the best athlete. You could be the worst athlete. It doesn't even take you getting hit the wrong way. Like, you, us three, we're sitting right here in our chairs. We could easily get up out of our chair, tear our Achilles, just like that. It's one of those type of injuries that there's no rhyme or reason as to why it happens. It's unfortunate.
But if you're just sitting down, it won't happen.
But
if you're on that sideline.
But when you get up, it might.
Yeah, but then it's somebody else's fault.
I mean, yeah, it's real easy to play Monday morning quarterback. It's real easy to do that. Yes, was he in the game when he didn't need to be? Yes. But who knows? Maybe they're trying to get him back in his playing shape for the remainder of the season, because as laughable as it sounds, as bad as the Texans have been, they're still only one game out of first place.
And now without their running back, because he shouldn't have been out there. And this isn't Monday morning quarterback. I was saying it yesterday at the end of the third quarter. I kept saying, why are all these guys still in there? You've got to get them out of there at this point. This game is over.
And then also, I don't even want to interrupt you guys, but also it could just be simple that, okay, you know what? You guys want to play like this in the first half? Well, you know what? This second half, you guys are going to stay out there, and you're going to make this thing competitive.
That's just dumb.
I agree.
There's no way for it to – and I get that, because I've been on some bad teams too where the coaches made everybody keep playing when we were getting killed. Mm-hmm. And
it's happened before.
But the difference was with those teams, we sucked so bad that if we got hurt, nobody cared. There was another guy who sucked just as much as us who could go and play the next week.
I'll say this. I think as a pro athlete, if you're, like, let's say you're a starting pitcher and you go out and you give up 10 runs in the first inning of a World Series game, it sucks being out there giving up those 10 runs. it sucks even worse sitting on the bench looking at the team try to fight their way out of an impossible mess that you made.
Oh, yeah. No,
to me, that's the best kind of punishment is to say, hey, go sit over there on the sideline and you watch these guys who have no chance of digging out of the hole that you've created. Yeah. Watch them try their best and fail.
And try to, give it
up.
Yeah,
and then watch Polk go out there and get hurt, and then it's your fault because you guys suck so bad that he was out there. But we're cruel.
Like I said yesterday, it just seemed like a team that was uninspired. I think that's really the worst part about it, because I've been on teams
like that. Because
there's
no accountability, that's why.
Yeah,
because if there was, we'd be talking, or the news today, you and I would be talking about who got fired today. That's why.
And it's still early in the season. Remember, a couple years ago, Kubiak got fired the morning after that Thursday night game.
This is the day that heads should have rolled. They rolled in Detroit today. Today was the day.
Yeah, the OC, Lombardi.
Today was the day. After a game like that, there's never going to be a time that it's more justified than today.
And my man Golden out there in Miami.
Yeah, he's going too.
Yep. 24 hours, right? Man, that was 58-0.
Very similar type thing. They were just blown out, and they were never in it. The difference is at least they were playing a good team.
Yeah.
And, that it was at least UH chased George O'Leary off. They did do that.
And he retired the day right after.
Yeah,
like I said, him and Steve Spurrier leaving the way he did at South Carolina, you have to question if Steve Spurrier wasn't as highly decorated and as well-respected as he is within the coaching industry, or just sports, because I grew up watching Steve Spurrier, him and Danny Werfel won all those games back in the 90s. Steve Spurrier basically quit on that team.
Yeah,
he basically just quit. They're 2-4 or at the time, and that was his first time, I think, having a losing record at that time in his career. They basically just walked away. And if his mystique wasn't as high as it is, that's what everybody would be screaming.
Yeah, it's funny because all they're talking about is they want him on College Game Day to replace Lee Corso.
Lord. That's the job.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Stanford Route. Stanford, appreciate the time as always, and watch out for the traffic next time. You and Ryan Mallett, maybe you should be driving him around. All right, very quick break. We come back, the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. 6 o'clock, we'll get to the rest of the league, and I promise we'll get to some colleges after that, because there was a lot of stuff in college football that we need to get to. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
Well, I had to do a football one today because as bad as things were for the Texans yesterday, in general, they haven't been as bad as they've been in Cleveland.
Right.
Well, at least Cleveland fan has a sense of humor. Apparently, decorating his yard for Halloween, Tony Timoteo.
Timoteo?
It may be Timoteo or Timoteo, one of the two. We'll call him
a good Tomatillo salsa.
We'll call him Tony T.
Tony T. Okay.
Just so I don't have to try to mispronounce that name again. He has a front yard with 22 headstones in it, each one featuring the name and date of every Cleveland quarterback since 1999. That's pretty funny. At least you got a sense of humor. I'm wondering, and somebody asked us before the show, are the Texans getting close enough to be able to do that? You wouldn't have 22, but considering that you had four guys take snaps last year, the year they made the playoffs, you had three guys take snaps. I bet you'd get pretty close. If we go back to 2002, Dave Ragone took snaps at one time.
That's true.
That might not be a bad idea for someone here in Houston.
Problem is, Schaub had too good of a run.
He did, but he also got hurt a lot. Remember Sage Rosenfels played?
That's true. Man, I didn't do it because I don't know Sage, but I've heard him a couple times, and he seems like a good guy. But last night he tweeted out something about there's something about Cam Newton that I just don't like. And I wanted to say that he has as many wins this season as you did in your 11-year career. But I didn't say
that would have been funny.
I didn't say
it. Would have been funny.
But the other reason I didn't say it is because I don't really like Cam Newton that much either, but I didn't have an 11-year NFL career. So, yeah, I almost trolled Sage last night, but I didn't.
12 starting quarterbacks for the Texans in their history.
Okay.
David Carr, and then 1 year, David Carr, Tony Banks, Dave Ragone, then 3 more years of Carr, then Schaub and Rosenfels both started in 7 and 8. Then it was Schaub, Yates, Leinart year, Schaub, Keenum, Schaub, Fitzy, Mallett, Keenum. Well, although Tom Savage played last year, he didn't start. These are just the guys who started, because Savage played last year too, so it'd be 13. And I'm wondering if there was anybody else out there that got in the game. And then Mallett and Hoyer, of course, this year. Anyway, Escher's at our Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Bannock Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple quick calls, and then we're going to turn the page to the rest of the league and get some college football in next hour. And let's go with Michael. What's up, Michael? Michael?
Hey, you guys there?
Hey, sports, Michael.
Hey, what's going on? I got a quick question idea to throw out at you guys real short here. Ryan Mallett, he, I haven't really liked a lot of the things that he's done off the field. And obviously, he's got a strong arm, doesn't always make the greatest decisions, but just ran into some bad luck that one game. But what do you think the chances would be that they may trade him and, say, Alfred Blue and maybe Nate Washington to Kansas City for Chase Daniels and Nile Davis? Now, obviously, Nile Davis this year hasn't had a great year, and he's kind of fallen out of favor in Kansas City. But last year, coming in to take over for Jamal Charles, you know, did pretty well and that sort of thing. He could come in and, you know,
Let me jump in there, because trades like that are not – multiple player trades aren't happening in the NFL.
And plus, you're just trading away your junk for their junk.
Right.
It's not, I mean –
right. I bet they're trying to trade Ryan Mallett for something, get
but
another
seventh
round
pick. But who
wants
to trade for Ryan Mallett right now?
Well, that's the thing. And, yeah. and I'm sure that after they can't trade him, they'll cut him. That's what usually happens. And then you'll bring in – I'm sure Josh Johnson is running around out there because he's ubiquitous. And they'll bring in some other backup. All right. That's enough Texans garbage for one day. Let's hit the rest of the league when we come back. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.